Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
Well, I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies, and it's time once again for a podcast. Today, we've got a couple guests from our counseling team, and we're going to be talking about teen stress and anxiety. So welcome to the program, Andrea and Charles from our counseling team.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, Andrea and Charles, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourselves? I know Charles has been on the program before, and I think, Andrea, you're brand new. So talk to us.
Yeah, I'm Charles Reed, counselor over at the Personalized Learning Center. I've been here about 4 years, and I just love what we do as a community, as a campus. I love the team that I work with and the teachers, support staff, and Dr. Perez is one of the best humans I've ever met in my life. So I love what I do there. And
beautiful.
Dad of two daughters, so it's a good thing.
And I'm Andrea Strickland, the counselor at Classical Academy High School. I've been here since September, filling in for another counselor, Laura Hughes, while she's out on leave. And I've just absolutely loved it, had a great experience with these students and the staff. It's a great place to be.
Well, that's awesome. Well, our topic this morning, again, is really teen stress and anxiety. And we hear people talk about stress and anxiety all the time. But what do stress and anxiety look like in a teenager?
So stress and anxiety have become like big buzzwords, especially since the pandemic started. And, you know, adults and parents, especially, as we know, have been experiencing high levels of stress with kind of having to juggle so many different responsibilities, which under normal circumstances would be more manageable. But with the added pressures of uncertainties with the future and just what the pandemic has presented to us, it makes it a lot more complicated. And so I think what we have to remember is that our kids feel it too. Again, under normal circumstances, teenagers are juggling a lot of things, and they're also experiencing anxiety of looking towards the unknown future. And those stressors that come with that may seem less severe than more of a normal or real world type of situation that would stress us out.
I heard from a parent who has two teenagers that have some social and emotional challenges at this time. And one of the things that they were suggesting is that parents actually give a number, have their teens express in the morning, like from 1 to 10, 10 being I'm having a great day, to, you know, 1, gosh, I'm barely surviving, can get out of bed, is ask your kids for a number. You know, where are they today? And that helps, you know, parents gauge really how their kids are doing emotionally. And sometimes even we as adults have a hard time articulating, putting words to feelings. But yet having a number might be something that parents can easily do when they find out, well, you know, hey, mom, I'm about a 7 today. Oh, okay, I know where you're at. Gosh, I'm a 3. Okay, I as a parent, I know I need to press in a little bit. Maybe I need to ask some questions. Maybe I need to be really intentional with, you know, how are you dealing with stress? And then, you know, trying to get a conversation going as a result. But I think the numbering system is kind of an easy way for moms and dads to connect with their son or daughter.
Love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what does stress and anxiety do to your brain? And particularly, how does it affect a child's development?
So I'm sure we're all familiar with fight or flight mode. It's a response that is hardwired in us and designed to protect us. And that's essentially what's happening with stress and anxiety. Both are responses triggered in our brains from either real or imagined threats. And that triggered response is meant to help us, whether to protect us from that threat or motivate us to take some necessary action. And this response to stress in small amounts does help. So remember, whenever you feel a little bit stressed, your brain is actually working the way that it's supposed to. But in excess, it is damaging on our day-to-day functioning in the ways I listed a moment ago, and in many other ways as well. When circumstances are very demanding and we are emotionally or mentally strained, a stress reaction occurs in our brains, releasing adrenaline and cortisol hormones. And remember, when we talk about stress, it is a reaction to external factors. So work overload, upcoming deadlines, things out of our control, and just external to us.
Okay.
Anxiety is a little bit different in that it deals with the future. So it's worry over a potential outcome, a potential unfavorable circumstance that hasn't actually happened yet. So that's more internal because it's based in our minds as a worry. For a child, the effects of prolonged or excessive stress and anxiety is lower brain functionality long term. So the stress hormones that are released during that fight or flight reaction, if prolonged, can reach toxic levels that actually change the way a young brain structurally grows.
Okay.
So this affects their behavior and learning, memory, and mood. But I also want to point out that when we're talking about the developing brain, it's not only important to talk about the causes and effects of stress and anxiety, but also how we respond to it and deal with it. As I said, we all experience these things. So simply trying to avoid stressful situations is not very practical, as we know. So how we learn to handle stress and handle anxiety when it comes up is a habit that we form. It's a reaction that gets imprinted in our brains. And then we continue to use that reaction pathway each time we experience stress. So we want to make sure that our kids are learning healthy habits, healthy ways of understanding when they are experiencing stress or anxiety and coping with it. Because forming bad coping habits in response to stress in a developing brain can be just as, if not more in some cases, mentally detrimental as the experience of stress itself.
So what can you offer to parents to help them support their children's stress and anxiety management?
So first, I would say modeling behavior is always impactful. So making sure you've identified with how you deal with stress and which healthy coping habits work for you. And then use them regularly. So as we know, on a plane, you have to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child put on theirs. It's the same idea. Engage in healthy self-care activities, eating healthy, getting good sleep, being kind to yourself when you're having a bad day, and having patience with your emotions. That will help your child do the same. So I'd also say, in addition to having patience with yourself, is having patience with your child's emotions and be sure to validate them. The important distinction here is to validate emotions, not necessarily their actions in response to the emotions. And so by that, I mean, don't downplay their emotional experience. For that, to them, whatever stress they're feeling is very real and present for them. And so to be sure to treat it as such. But if they are reacting poorly because of those emotions, I'm not saying to excuse the bad behavior, but recognize that it's happening because they have a valid emotion and that needs a more healthy outlet. And then ask your child about their stress and anxiety and listen to what they're feeling.
Are there resources or tools or information that you'd really encourage a mom or dad or a grandparent, aunt and uncle to really, you know, tap into at this point? So really they're working on their own toolbox. They're gathering tools and information so they can be more effective in their roles to help our you know, sons and daughters move forward during this time.
Yeah, we have a variety of resources. I mean, we did create a virtual comm room that has a ton of resources that they can use. Obviously, there's outside help, which is like would be counseling or group exercise classes. There are a ton of, I don't know if you're familiar with Peloton, but they have a ton of like exercise things that you can do through their app.
Okay.
Pretty fun. And there's stretching on there. There's cycle class. So you have a spin bike, you can jump on, and there's other people, and like the actual teacher will interact with people in the app. And so I've actually done that for myself. I enjoy spinning, and it's something that I do for myself once a week.
So it's just really important to identify what self-care looks like for you. And then be very mindful about it and be sure to be intentional with engaging in those couple of activities that you know really serve your mind and your body well.
So true. So true. And it comes back to that common theme, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Just my encouragement, especially if we want to work on the social, emotional, you know, issues that we have with our own selves, we've got to model that for our children. Very important.
You know, this other thing is something I share with families often is this idea of our teen is the expert at being a teen right now. We were teenagers at one point. We understand the emotions of being a teenager, but we weren't teenagers during 2020. We weren't teenagers with access to cell phones and the internet and everything that they have access to. And so right now they are the experts. And so, you know, listening to our kids, they know what's going on right now a lot better than we do. And again, those feelings that they're feeling are real.
Well, Andrea and Charles, as we kind of wrap up our time together, are there some additional keys or tools we want to leave our listeners with this morning?
I did actually hope to go over some more tools.
Please, that would be awesome.
For teens specifically. So I know we talked about what parents can do, but and it's similar for teens, but just to kind of touch on that, if you don't mind, there are many simple methods to reduce stress and anxiety. And the first that I would recommend is engage in some sort of grounding activity. So like I said earlier, stress is caused by external factors and anxiety is worry for something that hasn't happened yet. So grounding techniques bring you back in touch with your body and the present moment. So this can be done with breathing exercises or a 5-4-3-2-1 exercise and others like it. But essentially, the idea is to mentally disengage from the stressor and re-engage with the present moment. And you can find activities like this on our virtual calm room as well. We have a lot of great resources on that page to help students engage in healthy coping strategies. We have a page for breathing and relaxation, one for movement and exercise, little short follow along videos. I mean, 5-minute kind of deals. Another with links to calming music and rainforest sounds and ocean waves and things like that. We have a whole page with live animal cameras, which is fun. So if you don't have a pet at home, you know, pet therapy is real. You're feeling stressed to take a break and play with a pet. But if you don't have a pet, you can watch a live camera feed of some cute otters or, you know, my favorite is the jellyfish cam. But we have a page of just a list of inspirational quotes. So when you need a reminder or some help finding some positive self-talk, that's a good place to look for that. There's a page with resources for creating artwork and playing games. There's a page with some app suggestions on there. And one thing I wanted to note about it is, like we said earlier, not all strategies will work for everyone. So it's important to find what works for you. And these are intended to help manage stress and anxiety in an immediate moment. Going back to the pathways that I was talking about in your brain, establishing those healthy coping mechanisms and those pathways in your brain. So it's kind of the short term, right when you feel stress and anxiety, to engage in these and develop that habit in your brain. But if you notice that it's not working for you and you're consistently feeling overwhelmed and with a lot of stress and anxiety, then please seek help from a mental health professional. So we also posted some resources for that, for additional support on the virtual calm room as well. So if you're finding that these techniques aren't really working long-term for you and you need some additional support, please reference that page and reach out.
Well, and Andrea, you've touched on so many great resources. I'm wondering, when you mentioned this that website, where can I locate that? Where can I find that?
So it's actually posted in our Schoology pages and as well on, I know I have it posted on the social emotional counseling section of the Classical Academy High School website.
And that is available to each one of our families. And if they can't find that for some reason, they can easily just email comments@classicalacademy.com. And then that information was sent on to our counselors. And we have, I believe, 7 counselors for each of our 7 sites. And families can have access to that information and also be able to have a private conversation with one of our counselors and get you the tools and resources and information that you need.
That's what we're here for. And so happy to be part of an organization that opens up opportunities for students to have safe spaces to talk.
That's great. Well, Charles and Andrea, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.